Welcome to Food for Thought Podcast. Today's episode is creating a routine during quarantine, when you work from home, or any time. Before we begin, my name is Colleen Patrick-Gaudreau, and I'm your host. You can find me at joyfulvegan.com and also on social media, mostly on Instagram and Facebook. Thank you so much for subscribing to Food for Thought, and thank you for sharing it with others, for leaving ratings and reviews. They help so much, and thank you for supporting this podcast. Food for Thought is a 100% listener-supported podcast. If you'd like to join others in supporting this podcast and receive podcast transcripts, as well as other bonuses and perks, please go to patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGaudreau. And thank you so much in advance. Hi, everybody. Just a quick announcement. I cannot provide any information right now about our upcoming trips, our vegan trips, because everything is on hold with coronavirus. But of course, that's not the only way to connect with me and other listeners. You can always find me on social media. I'm always here for you. And I've been putting out a lot of content on my website at joyfulvegan.com, just about to put out a blog post about different plant-based milks you can make from home. So you'll find lots of recipes and resources over on the website. I cannot wait for all of this to be over for so many reasons. Of course, I look forward to having you join us on future trips. But in the meantime, you can join me virtually for my online cooking classes. I've been hosting these every week. David, my wonderful husband, has also made cameo appearances to demonstrate how to make some of our favorite cocktails and mocktails. And I just have to give a shout out to Danielle Puller. You've heard me mention her before. She has been just such an incredible friend to me for so many years. I met her when I taught cooking classes here in Oakland. 15 years ago, we met, and she now lives in Oregon, but she helps me in so many ways with my conferences and now with the cooking classes. So you'll find her moderating every week, and she has really made me quite a Zoom expert. She knows it inside and out, and she's the one who made my conference possible, the online conference. So thank you, Danielle. And thanks to everybody who's been joining us. It's been so much fun. These are really super fun, interactive, real-time classes. I love seeing so many people who have been on our trips join the cooking classes. And of course, we have a lot of regulars. A portion of the proceeds of each class always benefits some nonprofit organization, different organizations that are working to support the protection of animals. So I choose a different organization every week. And we've got a pretty fancy multi-camera setup, so you can watch me talk and answer your questions and see the food at the same time in a split screen. We have a private Facebook group for people who join the classes, and you get a recording of the class at the end. I pick a different theme every week. Actually, you pick a different theme every week. This week, I picked eating by color. I guess I picked that one because I hear from so many of you who want to eat healthfully at this time. You want nutrient-dense recipes, and of course, I always want them to be delicious and fun and different. So that is the theme for this week. We're going to make some gorgeous recipes that are focused on color, focused on nutrient density, and focused on spring, because I know some of you still have snow where you are, but it is spring and spring foods are coming in, especially strawberries. And so a couple of the dishes include strawberries. Well, I should say one of the food dishes is strawberries, one of the drinks, or the drink, the cocktail, because Mr. David Gaudreau is going to come and do another cocktail this week. And we can talk about how to make it non-alcoholic as well. So go to joyfulvegan.com/events to register. It's an Eventbrite ticket, but it's just easier if you just go to the website, because if I read you out the Eventbrite URL, that would be really annoying. So just go to joyfulvegan.com/events. If you are a supporter, if you are a Patreon supporter, at any level, you receive 10% off the class. So please check your email, go to your Patreon account for the discount code. And I'm also running a special for this particular class coming up. When you register, you can bring a friend for free. Bring a friend. You can sign up a friend for free. And of course, the benefit of these online classes is that you can join, or your friend can join. Anybody can join from wherever you are. So I hope you're doing fabulously well. In a recent podcast episode called 50 Ways to Create a Meaningful Life, I promised I would expand upon many of the 50 in their own individual episodes. And so here we are. I thought I would start with this one, creating a routine. I was really struggling with what to call this because I'm not going to talk the whole time about how to create a routine. I'm going to talk about a routine that I find very meaningful that I want to pass on to you to see if it might resonate with you. So this episode is about how to create the most meaningful day possible. And I will say that really the way to do that in any situation, even if we weren't going through this pandemic and most people are at home, is to create a routine. And I think focusing on one day is the reason I prioritized this episode, is because I think that's all people are able to get through these days, is to just focus on getting through one day at a time. Several of the 50 ways I create a meaningful life that I talked about in that episode will be included in this episode on creating a meaningful day. And actually, I would say that the best way to create a meaningful day is to decide that you want to create a meaningful day. Now, I know some people resist that because it seems to suggest that every waking second, we need to create meaning and purpose in our lives, and people don't need that pressure. It sounds overwhelming when we're all, like I said, just trying to get through the day. And while I'm the first to admit that I do put a lot of pressure on myself, not gonna lie, my orientation to living a meaningful life started a long time ago. And so this isn't necessarily about, you know, trying to make the most of every second in this pandemic and this lockdown. This is a commitment to who we want to be and how we want to live our lives. Everything I'm sharing with you now is in alignment with what I would have shared with you even if we weren't going through the COVID-19, the coronavirus pandemic. I am not saying let's make the most of our lives of each and every second of every day because of this pandemic, because we're sheltering in place, because we're physically distancing, because we've all been forced to come to a standstill. What I am saying is let's make the most of our lives of each and every second of every single day because we're alive. This day, today, right now is an opportunity. It's no more of an opportunity today than it was yesterday or before this coronavirus became a pandemic. It's always been an opportunity, and it always will be while we're alive to make the most of it. I shared an essay recently in which I included one of my favorite quotes from literature, and one that I include in my book, The Joyful Vegan. It's from The Fellowship of the Ring, the first book in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, written by J.R.R. Tolkien, of course, where Frodo, in the book, in Fellowship, laments about the state of things, and Gandalf gives him a perspective to consider. Frodo says, "I wish it need not have happened in my time." And Gandalf says, "So do I, and so do all who live to see such times, but that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us." That is so timeless, and it's so timely. It actually sounds like something the Stoics would have written. In fact, Epictetus said something very similar. He wrote, "It isn't the events themselves that disturb people, but only their judgments about them." So, of course, we should be considering this every day, not just in a time of crisis like we're experiencing now. But while our lives are disrupted and we are physically and very painfully physically distancing from one another, it sure seems like a good time to ratchet that up. Tolkien wrote Lord of the Rings several years after returning from the First World War, during which time he witnessed death and suffering beyond what most any of us could ever imagine, including the slaughter of his dearest friends, many of his dearest friends from school, and then, of course, many of his fellow comrades and friends. And he survived trench fever and many illnesses that he contracted from his time in the cold, wet, lice-infested trenches. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us. I am not saying we have to pressure ourselves to write the next great novel or to find a cure for the coronavirus epidemic, but creating some parameters around this time may be helpful, useful, and meaningful. In other words, what can we do now so that when we look back 6 or 12 months from now, we can say, I'm really glad I did that? where I'm really proud of how I used that time. You might choose to read Lord of the Rings. If you haven't yet and you don't know what I'm talking about, read Lord of the Rings, read a trilogy, read a long novel, read War and Peace, read something you haven't picked up yet but have been meaning to. Read any book you've been meaning to. Watch a documentary series. David and I are in the middle of watching The Civil War by Ken Burns, which was obviously one of the first Ken Burns specials, documentaries many years ago. And we had never watched The Civil War. We've watched many other Ken Burns specials, but not that one. Or any documentary series. Watch a documentary series. Declutter your house. Obviously, hang on to your donations. A lot of organizations that take secondhand clothes are really being bombarded with a lot of clothes and items, and they're just being dumped in front of these places. So hang on to your donations as you declutter your house and clean things up. Just hold them aside and leave them in some boxes so that when this is all over, you can bring them to the right places so that they can go through them, because otherwise it's most likely that they're going to end up in a landfill. Plant a garden. Now is the time. It's spring. Learn to bake bread. I think everybody's learning to bake bread. Or write the next great novel. What you choose to do is up to you. And that's the point. What do you want to do now so that you can look back months from now and be happy or proud or satisfied with what you decided? Time is going to pass anyway. How do you want to spend it? Now, all that's to say, if you don't want to listen to this episode today because you feel like you have enough pressure on you and you don't want to create a meaningful day and you don't want to create a routine and you don't want to do anything new, then listen at another time. But keep in mind that I'm not suggesting you have to apply every single suggestion that I'm about to make every single day. The idea is to orient ourselves toward creating a meaningful life, a meaningful day, a day with some routine and order. And so I guess that would be my first suggestion for this episode, is decide that that's what you want to do. One of the reasons that decision comes in handy is because it's a precursor to my next suggestion. Or put it this way, the next thing I do that orients me toward having a meaningful day is I wake up early. So deciding to have a meaningful day tomorrow, deciding you're going to have a routine tomorrow, means that you start putting things in place today. In this case, plan to wake up early. If you plan to wake up early tomorrow, you can create a plan for that tonight because it will determine what time you go to sleep or whether or not you set an alarm. So that is number one. Decide what kind of day you want to have. Decide that you want to have a day with routine. Decide that you want to have a meaningful day. Number two, wake up early. I personally, not everyone feels this way, but I personally love waking up before the sun comes up. I love waking up when everything outside is still and dark. Now, in our house, it's just me and David. We don't have children. And I know I can enjoy a very still and dark morning because there is never a risk that David will wake up before me. If he does, something is very wrong, like he's sick or he's got something on his mind. I'm not throwing David under the bus. Everyone in David's life, including David, has talked about how David's love of and ability to sleep as a talent. It's a talent. It's not a judgment. We're just different. David needs more sleep than I do, and he likes staying in bed once he wakes up. Me, once my eyes are open, my mind starts going immediately. I'm awake. I can't wait to start the day. I literally bound out of bed. Well, I do it quietly so I don't wake David up, which even if he did wake up, if I bounded out of bed, he would have no problem going back to sleep again. Now, please understand, when I say wake up early, I am not suggesting that you get less sleep so that you compromise your well-being and your health. I'm not suggesting you change everything about who you are and what your physical needs are. I'm not suggesting you abandon self-care. I'm just saying that even if you're able to wake up 15 minutes early, just even 15 minutes, you will have a little more time, not to necessarily do more, but to experience more. David and I go to bed at the same time. We usually go to bed between 10 and 11 o'clock at night. And I wake up between 5 and 6 a.m. I love it. That's about 7 hours sleep for me, and that's enough for me. David usually sleeps till about 7:30 or so. On the weekends, he sleeps much later. For me, weekends are not really different. I still wake up early on the weekends, maybe 6:30, and my morning routine is pretty much the same. So I wake up early, and as I mentioned in the 50 Ways to Create a Meaningful Life episode, I do greet the morning, like in my head, I greet the morning, because honestly, I'm very grateful to wake up and have the gift of another day, because truly when we go to bed each night, we really don't know if we're going to wake up again. And so I'm very grateful to open my eyes. I stretch a little bit, I smile a little bit at the prospect of a new day, and I orient myself to the day. What do I mean by that? It means I decide then and there what kind of day I want to have, how I want to feel that day, and what I'm going to do to ensure that I have a good, productive, meaningful, purposeful day based on generosity, integrity, and compassion. Now, that doesn't mean that's always going to play out that way. It means that I orient myself to that. This is also not the time that I write my to-do list for the day. It's orienting myself toward having the kind of day I want. Those are my intentions. Having a day based on generosity, integrity, compassion, love, affection, laughter, joy, right? Those are my intentions. Create your own. So while I'm creating my intentions for the day, I'm also creating my intention for how I want to feel. Now, I'm not someone who espouses living solely by your feelings or intuition, but deciding how I want to feel on a given day, it has been really instrumental in deciding how I'm going to spend that day and how I'm going to orient myself that day and what kind of life I want to live. It's not merely about saying, well, I want to feel happy today or I want to feel good today. It's more than that. I might want to feel grateful. I might want to feel present. I might want to feel awestruck. I might want to feel joyful, engaged, full of wonder. I might want to feel warm, generous, loving, connected, forgiving. I might want to feel light today, not heavy, not weighed down. Deciding that's how I want to feel makes a huge difference in terms of the decisions I make throughout the day. So if I want to feel generous, it means I'm going to do something that makes me feel generous. If I want to feel more present and undistracted, it means I'm going to engage in habits and behaviors that lend themselves to my being present, such as not having my phone on me when I'm in the presence of friends or neighbors or my husband or even just myself, even just being alone, or being still and not doing anything for 10 minutes. That's going to help me feel that sense of presence, or calling a friend without checking email while I'm talking to them, right? Those are behaviors that I'm going to participate in based on how I said I wanted to feel. How I decided that I wanted to feel that day. If I want to feel awestruck, literally like struck with awe of the wonders of the world and how beautiful nature is, that means I'm going to put myself into places where I feel that awe, or read something or watch something or listen to something, or just sit and watch nature or go on a hike or watch my cats. I mean, the point is, depending on how I want to feel, I'm going to orient myself toward feeling that way that day. So that's what I usually do when I'm in bed still. I'm kind of deciding that. I'm orienting myself to that. I recite some kind of quote in my head. Now, this could just be loosey-goosey. It doesn't have to be anything profound. It could just be, today I'm going to orient myself toward having a meaningful day, or I will do my best to try and be present and be awestruck by what is around me. I mean, it could just be something like that. There's a line in Marcus Aurelius's book Meditations that I really like, because it's there's kind of like no better way to decide how I want to be in a given day. And it goes, you know, remember, Meditations, Marcus Aurelius's book, is his journal to himself. So when he writes this, he is writing to himself how he wants to be. So he writes, how to act, never under compulsion, out of selfishness, without forethought, and with misgivings. Never under compulsion, out of selfishness, without forethought, and with misgivings. And I have stopped myself throughout the day when I go to do something impulsive, or I go to do something without really giving much thought to it, or when I'm about to do something that I'm going to have misgivings about. So again, just kind of orienting myself toward the way I want to be that day is really, really helpful. Sometimes while I'm laying in bed, and this is sometimes if I wake up super early and it's too early to just maybe put my feet on the ground, but it's just like, I don't want to like physically get up yet, but I don't want to go back to sleep either. Sometimes I'll do a loving kindness meditation in my head in bed before I get up, because once I'm up, well, cats, and I will get back to that momentarily. But if I don't do the loving kindness meditation in bed at that moment, I will do it later as part of my morning routine, and I will get to that in a minute. Now, if you're curious about the loving kindness meditation, or you haven't done it, or you need a nudge to start doing it again, I think I've talked about it here on the podcast. If I haven't, I've definitely talked about it in my conferences, and definitely in The Joyful Vegan. I include in The Joyful Vegan, in the book, a loving kindness meditation that I use. And it basically involves mentally sending goodwill, sending kindness and warmth towards others by silently repeating a series of mantras. These mantras, it's actually the same mantra with, you can do any variation. The series of mantras usually, may you be well, may you be happy, may you be free of suffering, or may you be well, may you be at peace, may you feel loved, right? Something like that, whatever works for you. But there are many variations, whatever works for you, but that's the gist. Essentially, you repeat these mantras and send loving kindness to four different people, taking a few minutes for each. And I actually find it kind of fun, because I find it really fun to kind of decide, like, who are the people, and I don't really know until I sit down, but who are the people I'm going to send love and kindness to today? So you start with yourself. So that's always what you start with, because you can't give love and kindness to anybody else if you don't have it in yourself. So you start with yourself, and then you move on to someone you love, someone you're close with, and then you move on, and so you pick a different person every day, or you can pick the same person for a week, it's up to you. And then you move on to someone you don't know very well, but you interact with on a regular basis, like a mail carrier or a delivery person or a store clerk. And then you move on to someone you are having a difficult time with, someone you're angry at, someone you're unhappy with. And then you finally move on to everybody. You just kind of reinforce it by doing that again, just to everybody. It takes about 12 to 13 minutes a day, and you can do it for longer, but it is an incredible way to start the day. If you don't do it in the morning, that's fine. We can reset our day anytime, but I will tell you that starting your day with a love and kindness meditation will change your day. It will change your life, because it will change your mindset, which is pretty much how we experience the world, right? So how we think about things determines our experiences of things. It's all about how we think about things, how we orient our thinking. So starting our day off with a love and kindness meditation, where we're orienting ourselves towards sending good vibes out to ourselves, to our loved ones, to people we're angry at, it's just incredible. And incidentally, Patreon supporters at $20 a month or more, they get an audio recording. I recorded an audio of a love and kindness meditation. I did this for my conference folks last year. So if you are already a supporter at $20 a month or more, you should have it in your Patreon account. If you are going to become a new supporter, you will find it in your email, in your thank you email, once you become a supporter at $20 a month or more. So to recap what we have so far, number one, decide what kind of day you want to have. Number two, wake up early. Number three, upon waking, you know, I indulge in a little gratitude. I orient myself toward what kind of day I want to have. I might, you know, create a mantra that I want to repeat. You can also do a love and kindness meditation right off the bat. But, you know, before you get out of bed, just take a moment to orient yourself toward the kind of day you want to have. So once I get out of bed, the first thing I do is I take about 5 minutes to just stretch. I take a cue from my cats, because they never get up from a lying position without stretching their bodies first. They always stretch their back legs, and then they stretch their front legs and their back. So I always just do a little stretch. And this is while the cats are like, please get up and let's go and let's start our day. So I have to keep kissing them and petting them while I'm stretching. But that is a big part of my day, is my cats. Charlie and Michiko get up with me when I get up. Now, I know there are people who don't have cats who think that's ridiculous. They're not dogs. Yes, they are. My cats are dogs. Or my cats are what you think dogs are. And I think you would find, as you talk to more cat people, that cats are more oriented to their people than you think, or than dog people believe. So our cats sleep with us all night. And Simon and Schuster were like this as well. Like, we are in a whole part of the benefit of having a routine is the other, hopefully, beings in your home will also get into that routine. Now, I realize this is much more challenging for people who have children, but even creating a routine will help your children and help you as parents for your own sanity and for your own sake and for their own habit forming, routine, right? You get it. So our cats sleep with us all night. Wherever we are the night before, like if we're watching a movie or if we're watching TV or watching or reading, wherever we are, when we come up to bed, everyone comes up to bed. So David goes to the litter box and he cleans the litter box. I sometimes give Charlie and Michiko a little bedtime snack. And then David and I go to our respective bathrooms to do our little night routine, you know, wash our faces and brush our teeth and take our contact lenses out and what have you. And by the time we get into our bedroom, like even if we left them downstairs because, you know, they were eating or something or they go to their litter boxes. By the time we come back from our bathrooms, each of us, the cats are already in the bedroom. So that's where we unmake the bed. Now, if you remember in the 50 ways I create a meaningful life list, making the bed every day is one of the 50. Now, obviously I can't make the bed when I get up because David is still in bed, but it's one of the things we tend to do together once he's up, or I'll do it as a surprise for him or he'll do it as a surprise for me. It's actually very sweet because there are times where I go outside in the morning, when I come back and he's still in bed, when I go outside, when I come back, he'll have the bed made. It's very sweet. And I always feel really excited to do it for him too, when I'm able, or we'll do it together. So we unmake the bed. I put my robe at the bottom of the bed, at the foot of the bed, because in the middle of me and David, because that's where Charlie and Michiko like to sleep. Sometimes it's just Charlie. Most of the time it's just Charlie, and Michiko's on another comfy chair in the room. Sometimes it's both, but wherever they sleep, it's in our bedroom with us, and they sleep throughout the night. And they're usually both sleeping when I physically get out of bed in the morning to stretch and go to the bathroom to start my morning routine. By the time I emerge from the bathroom, they are both up. They're itching for me to feed them. Or if I'm doing my stretches, that's when they're usually getting up. And if it's before 6 a.m., I don't usually feed them. But if it's about 6 a.m. or after, I usually feed them first. And then I go work out. And that is the next thing I do. My workout is nothing very interesting. I am not someone who's going to put my workout on my social media feed. Since I stopped running after I tore my meniscus and then had surgery to repair it, my primary cardio is cycling and walking and hiking, and which I always walked and hiked, but it's really the bike that's kind of new for me. I used to cycle a long, long time ago. I got into a bike accident many years ago. This is now, I don't know, 20 years ago or something. I don't know, maybe 17 years ago. And no, it's probably about 20 years ago. We've been in California about 22 years, and it's probably been about 17 or 18 years. And so I've stopped riding. I used to ride as kind of my transportation, but I haven't done that in a long time. So I used to be a runner, and it's not to say that I would never run again, but my main cardio now is the stationary bike that I got when I was recovering from knee surgery, and I use it every day. It's really the best purchase I ever made. It is not a Peloton or anything like that, but it's a really good sturdy bike that allows me to adjust the tension so I can do a lot of, you know, kind of hills and that idea. So I usually ride for about 45 to 60 minutes, and then I do about 20 minutes of resistance training, nothing that would lead me to share my muscles with you on social media. Even if I did, I'm not going to share with you on social media, but that's what I do every day. I do some kind of cardio in the morning, and then I do resistance probably about 3 times a week. And David got me an attachment for my bike, for my iPad, which enables me to read while I'm on the bike. Now, we still have many physical books. It's going to be really hard to get rid of our favorite physical books. We have built-in bookcases, and they're just meant for books, but most of the books we buy now, today, are digital. We do tend to read books mostly on our iPad, or, you know, I basically have my iPad that has Kindle on it, or iBooks. And so if I'm not reading while I'm riding the bike, I'm probably watching something on Canopy or on the TV. I think I mentioned to you Canopy. It is a really fantastic app for smartphones, smart tablets, smart TVs. You can log in with your library card, and it has all the great courses on it. The great courses basically has thousands and thousands of courses in every discipline you can imagine taught by university professors. And while many of them are audio courses, and I listen to them as well, many of them are video courses, and they're fantastic to watch. While I'm on my bike, I like learning. So I do like kind of cutting two carrots with one knife, and I'm usually watching courses on history or literature or language. There's just everything you could imagine. And they're usually like 50 episodes long. I think you may have heard me talk about, I just watched The Black Death. Highly recommended. I watched it before the pandemic came about, but there are so many great courses. You can go to thegreatcourses.com. You can see what they have to offer. And then when you go to Canopy, you can find them more easily on Canopy by searching. So working out is the next part of my morning routine. It's some kind of sweaty workout. Like that's what I just do. I usually then go for another, like either a walk or a hike later on in the afternoon or the evening, usually about a 60 or 90 minute walk or hike during the week. On the weekends, it's a lot longer. We usually hike for 5 or 8 miles on the weekend per hike. But some kind of movement, some kind of cardio is for me the best way to start my day. And it's one of the things that dictates how I feel the rest of the day. And I want to say that, like, when I don't do my routine, it definitely throws me off. It's, you know, that's, I guess, one of the downsides. But it's also the upside in that I can point to exactly why I got thrown off that day if I didn't do my normal routine. And so again, I really mean it when I say you can reset your day anytime. But this is what really works for me. And I've always been very routine oriented. It's why I've been able to build my own business and have my own, you know, I created my own work routine, because I've always been very disciplined, but that does require, you know, some amount of rigidity as well, because I get very attached to my routine. And I'm very grateful I'm able to do it. I've made choices in my life that enable me to do it. And so I mean it when I say, like, this is what my day looks like every day, like kind of clockwork. And if I, for some reason, can't do it, if, you know, if I get an emergency phone call, or I had to do some kind of interview in the morning before that, it does throw me off a little bit, and I have to kind of reset things before I can go about my day. I've definitely had some pretty lousy days because I didn't reset things. I'm also very stubborn, so I tend to push through when I'm feeling uncomfortable, or when I'm feeling frustrated, or when I'm feeling like I want to finish something. I tend to push through instead of stopping and saying, this isn't working. Like, maybe you should stop. That's going to be another episode on how to create discipline when you're working from home, or when you're just, you know, just spending your time and how to create discipline. But creating a routine for me definitely helps make my day feel very meaningful and very ordered. The next part of my daily routine is not about what I do, but it's about what I don't do. I am not in any way perfect at this, but I aspire to not look at my phone or email or definitely the news the first hour I'm awake, if not more than that. I sleep with my phone next to my bed, not because I want to check my email and not because I think I'm going to get a phone call in the middle of the night, but because I sleep with a white noise app, a sound app. I cannot sleep without white noise. I mean, I suppose I technically could, but even before there were white noise apps, I still have them. I have white noise machines I used to have right by my bed, and I would travel with these machines because I love the sound of white noise. And thank goodness my husband agrees to it as well, because he has to hear it too, but he sleeps very well, as we have said. And so I keep my phone next to my bed so I can listen to my white noise app. Charlie just came in the room. Did you want to say anything, Charlie? No, you just want to rub against the microphone. Okay. Just warning y'all, you might hear Charlie, which is not a bad thing at all. Charlie! So the point is, I have to physically pick up the phone to turn the white noise app off, or my alarm, if I set my alarm, which I don't tend to do, because I do tend to wake up very naturally at 5:30, 6 o'clock, but there's sometimes that I set my alarm because I have a meeting or something. So I have to touch my phone, I have to pick up the phone, I have to turn that alarm off, but my goal is to not look at the email. I don't check email, I don't check my news. I don't check the news first thing at all. Now, I do use my phone's Fitbit. I don't have a Fitbit device, but I do use the phone itself for just the calorie burn, just because I like to track things. And so that's why I don't turn the phone off completely, because I do like to have that when I do my workout. But I don't look at the news and I don't look at my email. Even when I'm on the bike and I'm, you know, I'm reading on the bike, I'm opening my iPad, I try to resist, and it just requires some discipline. The idea of looking at the news first thing in the morning is, I don't know. I feel like it's eating a chocolate donut, something really heavy and lacking in nutrition the first thing in the morning. That is not the way I want to start my day. I do not want to put something in my system that doesn't feed me nutritionally, though it may feed me calorically. Does that make sense? Can you hear Charlie? I think you might be able to hear him. He's purring right on top of the microphone. Now, some people might hear this and think I am saying that I am not informed with what's going on in our world, but I do not believe you have to read the news every day to be informed with what's happening in our world, especially national news. I am quite informed about what's happening in our world, in my state, in my city, and I do not have to read the news every day to be informed. I certainly do not have to comment on the news every day to demonstrate how informed I am. And the news really is just other people's interpretations about what's happening in the world. And I think it can be poisonous to look at it every day. Even from news outlets I respect. I certainly don't get my news from Facebook or Twitter or any social media account, and I do prefer to read longer pieces rather than just skim headlines or read sound bites. I think it's one of the reasons Twitter is so toxic. And personally, I don't consume news from TV. I was never a TV news person, so I don't even know how many decades it's been. David and I do sit down on Friday nights to watch Shields and Brooks talk to Judy Woodruff for 15 minutes during the news hour on PBS. I have been doing that for years, and I love those guys. I love Judy Woodruff as well. Anyway, so I will do that for, like, that's probably the most TV news that I watch. It's really commentary by Shields and Brooks about the news for the week, and even that sometimes I'm not in the mood for. That's just how I'm someone who consumes my news reading. I used to consume the news from the radio. I used to listen to my local NPR station religiously, and I still contribute my opinion pieces. There's a radio commentary show on my local NPR station. I still contribute. I've been doing that for 14 years. And even though there's a lot of really good quality content on there, I think just what happened is I was feeling like a passive listener rather than an active listener. And so, I mean, that's what podcasts are, right? Like, you listen intentionally. And of course, I can do that with NPR as well. Many of the shows are, you know, archived, and I can listen on podcasts. But the point is, I prefer to be an active participant in the information I consume rather than a passive recipient. And that goes for TV. As I said, I've never really watched TV news, but that's how I am, even with something that's written. Like, just, I subscribe to the New York Times, I subscribe to the Washington Post, as well as my local paper, and I read them a few times a week, but I will go several months without reading the news. I am reading other things. I'm reading articles about film or the arts or history or, you know, other articles, but I don't necessarily read the news itself. There's so much to read out there. Why would I limit myself to daily newspapers, especially at a time when things I find are pretty toxic and divisive, and I'm just not interested. It does not make me more informed. I am incredibly informed with what's happening in the world. And one of the ways I am informed is by reading history or listening to podcasts about history or lectures like in the Great Courses about history. I have a much better understanding of the world today because of my knowledge of the world yesterday. And that includes what I gain from reading novels and philosophy as well. It doesn't have to just come from history per se. Now, don't get me wrong, because you know I believe that we should be engaged politically, especially locally, but you don't need the daily news to do that. Reading history teaches you that, and it makes me more effective and productive rather than passive and panicky when I don't read the news. In fact, I will take several, like I said, I'll go months, but I mean, every week I usually take a few days where I'm not looking at it. It's been, let's see, it's been 4 days since I've even read the national news. And guess what? I know everything that's happening. And I do still read my local articles because I do really care about what's happening locally. And it's just really nice to not be part of all of the divisiveness that is happening. There's nothing new under the sun in terms of human politics and psychology and social relations, and reading history teaches you that. So I find that just much more productive for me. And that's why I don't look at the news before I start my day. And it really makes me so much more productive and so much happier throughout the day. So that's my goal. Number one, decide what kind of day I want to have. Number two, wake up early. Number three, upon waking, indulge in some gratitude and orient myself toward the kind of day I want to have. Possibly do a love and kindness meditation. Number four, once I get up, I stretch for a few minutes and then I go into my bathroom for my morning routine. Number five, I work out. Number six, while not reading the news or checking my email, but intentionally taking in what type of external stimuli that feeds me rather than depletes me. Next, after my workout, once I'm done, I feed the kitties if I haven't already. And this is my favorite part. I haven't even gotten to my favorite part yet. I make my tea and I start gathering my books and journals and decide where I'm gonna sit. And this is where the cats come in again. Now, my cat babies are so ridiculously attached to me and my routine that they don't settle down until I do, and then they just wanna be on my lap. I am sitting here right now recording this with Charlie sitting on my lap. Now, I don't have to tell you that I love my cats 1,000,000%. I don't even think that's a thing, but I love them, obviously, but I do feel a little, shall we say, hindered with both cats on my lap in the morning when really all I want are my journals and my books, because I don't like sitting at a table or a desk in the early morning part of my routine. I prefer to sit on my living room sofa or in a comfy chair in the living room or outside, because if I'm at my desk or table, which might, you know, which would enable me to have my books with me and the cats not necessarily hinder that, but I don't want that. I want to sit with my tea in a comfy chair. And so if I'm sitting down in a comfy chair, Charlie and Michiko want to sit on me and they want to make biscuits and they want to, you know, just kind of, they're just active and it just makes it hard. And I know I sound like I'm a horrible person right now, but I'm not a horrible person. And that's what's funny, is because I could sit down and just kind of, you know, gently push them aside so they can sit next to me on the chair or sofa. But I don't even have the heart to do that. So it's either like I have to sit with them and go limp and try and comfortably read while I'm holding the phone, you know, the iPad up in the air while they're on my lap, or I just have to go outside. Now, I want to go outside. Like, that is my plan, is to go outside. But in the winter, it is cold outside. Even though we live in California, those who don't know, of course, Northern California, it gets cold. Now, I have been known to go outside despite that with a blanket and my tea, and I'm usually like frostbitten in an hour, and I'm usually texting David by then, and he's like, come inside. I'm like, I know, but I love it. I just want to be outside and I want to do more writing or what have you. So I'm a little foolish when it comes to that, but that's my goal, is to go outside. My goal is to do it when it's still dark out, but that doesn't always happen because I'm, you know, it depends on what time of year it is. Because if I'm riding my bike and I'm actually, like, when I'm doing my workout in the morning, I'm watching the light. I'm watching like the sun come up slowly, and I'm like really annoyed because I want to get outside when it's still dark so I can be outside when it gets light out. I know. When I say that I'm on my routine, I mean it. So that is my goal, is to sit down somewhere, whether it's outside or in my living room, with my journals to start writing in my journals. And that is my favorite part of the day and to start reading. And I will get to that in a moment. But I want to first thank all of you for your support. Thank you especially to Brooke Bussard and Mikal Stone and David Cabrera and Alexander Gray. Thank you so much to new supporters. We have a new supporter, Laura Penn. Thank you so much for your support. And thank you to everyone at every level. Remember, supporters at $10 a month and above receive written transcripts to every podcast episode. At $20 a month and above, you will get an audio recording of a loving kindness meditation and so on. Every level has a different perk, different bonuses. I mentioned that everybody who's just a supporter gets 10% off of the cooking classes I've been doing. So if you're getting anything out of the podcast and you'd like some perks, please become a supporter today. You can visit patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGaudreau or visit joyfulvegan.com and click on the donate button. You are the reason I'm able to do this work and create my routine so that I can spend my entire day creating content, helping people live as compassionately and healthfully as possible. So thank you everybody for your support. So that's what I do next. I either sit outside or inside, and I try to have discipline if I'm inside and let the cat sit next to me. It's very difficult. Whatever it is, this moment, this time for me is very special. And that's something that I want to convey to you too. Wherever you live and however much space you have, create a special sacred place for yourself. For me, like I said, it's outside. I have a few different spots outside that I love, but inside I have some favorite spots as well. I talk about this in the Vegan's Daily Companion. It's so important to have some kind of sacred space for you to be alone in, for you to journal in, for you to read in, for you to just enjoy the morning, have your loving kindness meditation or have any kind of meditation, just be with yourself, have some tea. Enjoy the quiet before the day begins, even if it's just for a few minutes, even if it's just for a few minutes. And that's why maybe waking up 15 minutes early will enable you to have this. Finding a special sacred space, even if it's just a little corner of an apartment or a balcony, wherever it is, somewhere that makes you feel special, that you have some space to claim. Now, for me, tea is part of that routine. I'm not going to make it a separate item, but tea brings me more joy than words can convey. I love tea. Whatever hot beverage brings you joy, make that part of your routine. Or if it's a cold beverage, I am partial to tea. I've never had coffee, but even if it's coffee that brings you joy, or hot cocoa, or some kind of hot plant-based milk with turmeric and nutmeg, or hot water, whatever it is, have something that you look forward to so that when you are about to sit down, it's part of the ritual to make that tea, to make that drink, to pour that into your favorite cup and go find a favorite spot. That is part of creating this joy. The routine itself is the joy. That should be every moment of it, everything you do, every aspect of it should bring you some kind of meaning and joy. That's the idea. We're not talking here about how to have a productive day. This is about how to have a meaningful day and a joyful day. So choose things that bring you joy. And you might say, well, yeah, sleeping 15 minutes longer brings me joy. That's fine. I'm not going to argue with you. The point is, create a routine that's going to bring some meaning and joy in your life that you will revel in and that you don't want to end. So once I decide where I'm going to sit, I have my tea. I literally carry a stack of books around the house with me. Like, you'll find them in the kitchen sometimes. You'll find them in the bedroom. You'll find them outside. I carry this stack around with me because this is what I do. And this little sacred stack consists of several books. Number one, my daily journal, which is just a blank journal. Number two is my line a day journal. Number three is my commonplace book. Number four is my daily task notebook. And then I also have another journal I carry around with me that's less. I'll tell you about that another time. It's not as interesting. The other ones I think you might get something out of. So just to finish what is in that stack, I also have my iPad because I read also. I don't just write. And then I also have my daily stoic. Now, my daily journal is just that. That is one in which I share my thoughts and reflections on what's happening in my life, you know, whatever. Now, interestingly, I read a really good article in the New York Times. See, I still read the paper about why you should be keeping a journal during the coronavirus. And I thought it was a really poignant article. I mean, obviously it was poignant. I thought it was very I thought it made a lot of sense. I wasn't writing a lot in my journal about what is going on right now regarding the coronavirus. But I started to do so more because I realized I wasn't tapping into that. And I do think it's true that we're going to look back to see how we did during this time. You might say that you'll remember it and you don't have to write it down, but my memory these days is like a sieve. So I just think I would remember better and enjoy looking back to writing, to pages where I wrote down my thoughts about the physical distancing, the virus itself, the pandemic, the sheltering in place. I just think having that in writing is going to be really meaningful, especially looking back. Now, I sometimes vary this part of my routine depending on whether or not I've read when I was on my bike. If I've read when I was on my bike, I don't tend to read when I'm outside. I tend to journal more. Same thing with the journal. I'm really enjoying night journaling. So sometimes I don't do my longer daily journal. I'll do that in the evening. But there's still a number of other journals I have that I will tell you about that is part of this morning routine. So I have my daily journal, which I'll do in the morning or I'll do it in the evening. I also keep a commonplace book, which I talked about in the episode on life-changing books, that's basically writing down quotes from wherever, other books that you are inspired by, leaders, thinkers, writers, authors, historians, people in history, whatever it is. You can do this in index cards and you can keep it on your computer. You can do whatever you like. I prefer to keep it in a journal, and you can find commonplace journals, or you can just use a blank journal. Basically, the idea is to also index the journal or the index cards and number them. So you can find them online. I did buy a couple commonplace journals online, but you can also just use blank journals. And so, you know, so the idea is to index them. So I have quotes from my favorite Stoics or from the Tao Te Ching, which I copied out. And you know that I've talked about memorizing favorite lines and quotes and passages I find very meaningful. And so that's the idea, is to have a collection of words and ideas and thoughts and sentences and inspiration and quotes to draw upon, not just rely on without having read the full text, but to build on and reflect on and use every day. And I will do some kind of memorizing also, maybe one line a couple times a week from that commonplace book. The last one is this line a day journal, which I've been doing just very recently, and I really love it. And again, you can just use any blank journal, but you would just want to discipline yourself. I bought one, it's called the Line a Day Journal or something like that. And the idea is that over a period of 5 years, this is the way it's created, you would just put one line in that day, you put in the year. And so for instance, like, you know, every day, every date is in the book. And then there's five lines, essentially sections on the page that says 20 and then blank. And then so you would just put one line in for 2020 and then you go to the next day, April 15th, and you put in one line for 2020 and then the next day, 2020. And then next year, 2021, you would go to April 15th and you would put in just one line for April 15th, 2021 and one line for April 16th, 2021. And the idea is to be able to just max it out to one line, you know, a couple, one sentence, two sentences, a short amount of text, and then be able to look back and see where you were. And I also like the idea of, at least if I don't day journal, I will at least just do the line a day journal. So that's something I really enjoy. I also mentioned that to set the tone for the day, I read a day's passage from the Daily Stoic. I'm very grateful that I've heard from many people who tell me that they've used the Vegan's Daily Companion as their guide each day. That means so much to me. I think you might know that there's also a Vegan's Daily Companion journal. It's called the Daily Vegan Journal, and you can still find copies online. So thank you so much. Means very much to me that people use my book for their daily meditation, for their daily journaling. And if I haven't done my love and kindness meditation, this is when I do it. Now, sometimes I transition to reading after this, but because I really like the morning time to be time to reflect and write and drink my tea, and sometimes I read on the bike, I find that I tend to journal, to read more in the afternoon or in the evening. I mentioned this in the Books That Changed My Life episode, that I stopped making my goal read for a half hour or read for an hour. And I started making my goal to read a certain number of pages a day. And I've been able to get through a lot more books by making a minimum number of pages I read to be about 30. You can do 50, you can do 20, whatever works for you. But it really has helped because I do get distracted. I mean, like so many of us, when I sit down, I still get distracted. If I say I'm going to read, I'll go check an article or I'll go check a word, you know, and just kind of go off into this rabbit hole. And so saying that I'm doing this certain number of pages, a minimum number of pages, has been really instrumental in helping me just focus on reading, as opposed to saying I'm going to sit down for an hour. Because after an hour, I'm like, oh, wait, I really didn't read much because I got distracted by this other thing. And so I like the minimum number of pages instead. Now, what's more important for my morning routine is setting the stage for the day, setting the tone for the day by writing and journaling and orienting myself to the kind of day I want to have, creating an intention for the day, creating my purpose for the day. That's everything to me. And it includes this time is the time I also use to write my list for the day. And that's the next thing I would add is create a plan for the day. Now, I tend to do best if I have the day planned out for me. This is, might not work for you. You're working for somebody else and you know your calendar is not your own and you don't have the option to do that. But even if it's something like, you know, if you have plans to call someone or to make dinner or to go to the store, I work really well when I have everything written down. So I will write down things like write a podcast episode, you know, choose the next episode, promote the cooking class, memorize my talk or whatever it is that I'm working on. That's how I work best. And so I do create a plan for the day. So that's the other little notebook that I have with me is my to-do list for the day. And finally, number 10 is shower and dress. Now, I know people who are sheltering in place because of coronavirus, and there's been a lot of articles about this, are really struggling being at home and being in one spot and not being able to go to work and not being able to go to the office. And that's really difficult for some people. Some people are having difficulty finding the ability to be motivated while working from home, or if they're not working, how to be motivated. I can tell you that whatever your circumstance and whatever your normal routine, if you are someone who is not used to being self-motivated or isolated like this, one of the ways to motivate yourself is to get up, get showered, get dressed, and treat the hours in your day like any work day. I, again, will confess that I can be too rigid about this because I rarely take off more than just a lunch hour during my work week. And I'm not saying that's the best thing because I can definitely swing to the other side of the spectrum in terms of being rigid about this schedule and about my routine. But so my lesson is to try and loosen up and not be so rigid. And that's my task. That's what I try to work on. But if you are not used to being at home, I highly recommend getting dressed and showered as you would for the office. I will tell you, like, you can surprise me in any given day. You will never find me in my pajamas. That is ludicrous to me. I am never, like, not dressed and showered. I am up and showered usually by 8:39. So even with that routine in the morning, by 9 a.m., I'm usually at my desk, showered and dressed with my tea or if I have some breakfast by 9 a.m. And so again, if you imagine, if I wake up at 6 a.m., that's 3 hours for me to do everything I named. That's a lot of time. So it sounds like I'm talking about doing a lot in the day. Obviously, I took a long time to explain all of these details, but it's not that much. I just, you know, wake up and decide what kind of day I want to have, number one. Number two, I'm waking up early, so that's not really a thing to do other than I'm just doing it. Upon waking, I orient myself to the kind of day I want to have. So again, it's not like I'm not doing anything more than just waking up and thinking. But before I put my feet on the ground, I am deciding what kind of day I want to have. I might do a loving kindness meditation at this point. Number four, I stretch for a few minutes when I get up. Number five, I work out. So that's probably the biggest chunk of time. So that's usually about 45 minutes or so. Then I feed the cats. And so, you know, so I would say probably an hour and a half has gone by now since I've been awake. And then while not reading the news or checking my email, I will read, I will journal, I will make my tea, I find my special spot to sit in, and I make my list for the day and my plan for the day, and then I shower and dress. So 3 hours is plenty of time to do that. Probably could do it in 2 hours and frankly, sometimes I find myself doing much better and being more productive and getting more done when I have less amount of time. And that will be another episode. If you're interested in creating self-discipline throughout the day, that is something else we can talk about. I can talk about how I stay focused throughout the day. There are some apps that I use. There's some technology I use to stay off of technology, which sounds paradoxical, but it's a very meaningful way to spend my day because I am human like everybody else and I get sucked in to social media and to rabbit holes and to news stories. And so the more we're able to just at least, if you took this and just said, I'm going to do one thing that's going to create meaning for in my life, that's going to create some kind of routine, that will be a lot. And so that is my hope, is that you see the value in creating some kind of routine for yourself that enables you to have a meaningful, joyful day. Until next time, for the animals, this is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau. Thanks for listening.